This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 129, recorded on August 1st, 2013. Here on Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show, world-class show notes, actually really good show notes this time. I'll explain why here in a second, out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can always contact the show. Send us an email, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. Find me on Twitter, just at Jay Collison, or follow the show schedule on Twitter, @TheAverageGuy.tv. You can also join us for live chat during the live show. We do that each Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at TheAverageGuy.tv live. We'd love to have you join us on your tablet or mobile device. We have low bandwidth streaming options available for you now. You can give it a try and give us some feedback. We also have a new high bandwidth YouTube page as well. Get it out, all at TheAverageGuy.tv. All right, we have a special show for you. We sat around after the show, after show 128. If you haven't checked that out yet, go out to theAverageGuy.tv/HT128. And we got together with Kevin Schoonover. The guys stayed around. John Stutzman, John Zadler, myself, and Andrew Morris stayed around and chatted with Kevin Schoonover. He just picked up a brand new HP Gen 8 microserver. And so this is the discussion, about 55 minutes in length. A first look at the Gen 8 microserver from HP. I think you'll want to listen and stay around and listen for it. Thanks for coming out, and here's the show.
Yeah, I wonder if that's...
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
There you go.
We can. All right. Hey, I'm surprised you're not playing with your Gen 8 right now.
It's already in bits on the disk.
I distinctly left it at the office so that I wouldn't do that.
Oh. I was wanting to see an on-air teardown.
Got a better watch acceptance factor to leave it at home, has it?
It does. Actually, in all candor, I pulled the trigger on that one because it, I saw the mark down to 414, and I came to grips with the fact that I had really no use for it, and I thought this would be a fun one. Every other server I buy with a use in mind, or something for my home backup and that. This one I purely bought from the idea that it would be fun to figure the thing out and figure out how we can tweak it and tune it and do different stuff with it. So,
well, if you send it over to me, I'll tell you how to do all that.
So are you going to change out the CPU? You got the 1610?
Yeah, I got it with the 1610, and I probably wasn't my first choice, but quite a few months ago, we got a security appliance from one of our vendors, and there was an issue with the little 1U server, and we ended up popping the processor out. So I ended up with a E3 1220 sitting on my desk, so that's what I'm going to put in there. It'll be definitely a boost over what I've got, but it'll still be about a 20-watt processor.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the heat on that? Because I think the server, I'm not sure what's in there, but I think it's up to 30, it's rated to 35 watts, is it?
Yep, yeah, it's a 35-watt socket. So the that link I put out on home servers got a kind of a good tool for sorting processors by features, functions, and heat dissipation. So there's I think that 1265 is going to be pretty popular with some folks. That's a 45-watt, so it'll push it a little bit, but that's an expensive processor. Though too,
yeah, that's 319.
Yeah, so that's a little pricey for that, but quad cores and 8 threads, and that'll be a lot of oomph out of there.
Well, that 1220, I was just looking on it on my table. I got a table in there in that link on the Gen 8. So
yep.
It's a few pages down, and I just updated it, and that 1220 is 141% of the 2020. So yep. You're going to have some nice. You're going to have two cores and four threads. So that's going to be a nice machine.
Yeah, and then I just picked up off eBay. All of a sudden has had a flurry of HP P410 RAID cards for under $100 and 512 modules with the battery for $50-$60, so that's kind of a nice price combination. I actually picked up a HP P212, which is one of the 8087 ports is internal, one of them is external. So I'm going to experiment a little bit with driving the four onboard bays with the internal port, and then I'm picking up one of these Sans Digital, makes one of these little four-drive SAS boxes with a 8087 port on the back, so I'll run another four drives off from that. I'm kind of putting this together for a good friend of mine is in bands and a lot of music stuff, and we've just come up with this thing where he wants to do recording to the server, and he approached me one day to say, hey, it would be really cool if I had a RAID 5 on four drives inside the server, and then I could copy that to a RAID 5 in a box that I could move around, and so that's what we're going to try and attempt to do. And the HP RAID controllers are pretty darn good about releasing a RAID set and then picking the RAID set back up again, so initial experimentation has been pretty good on that.
Are you going to put a drive up in the ODD bay?
I'm going to put an optical drive up in the bay, and I think I figured out that picture I put up with the two drives hanging off the side. Figured out how to do that fairly easily. It's going to maybe I'll get rich off making brackets to put two drives on the side there.
What are you going to drive them with?
So what I'm going to do is plug what my plan is to plug a breakout cord into the motherboard and use the two 6 gig SAS ports to drive those two drives. Then I'll use the RAID controller to drive four of the drives internal and four of the drives external.
Oh wow, that would be nice.
And I should have shot a few pictures, you know, for the guys who haven't seen, when, no offense to the existing microserver, but when you spin up the new Gen 8, it's just like you're on a DL380 or any of the real big ProLiants. It spins up and starts doing the integrity checking. ILO pops up and wants to be configured. The RAID controller pops up and wants to be configured. I know some people are kind of squawking about the price, but when you start playing around with this box, it's really an HP server.
So you're gonna take the two SATA 3 ports off the motherboard and use that to hook up to your Velocity Raptors. You're gonna run your OS on that and then put in the 212 to drive the hard drive cage.
Yep.
And also drive the add-on box.
Yep.
Wow.
But the other thing I was noticing that I do want to
experiment with. I wish you lived closer so that I could come over and see this.
Did you take the lid off it yet, Kevin?
Yep.
Like the top?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He's got pages on over at the – well, he Twittered some of them out, but there's
– Kevin, where are the pictures?
They're on Home Server Show.
Are they?
Yeah.
Under my initial observations.
Did you post it in the forums?
Yeah, so it's in the – okay, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me pull them up here and you can –
Yeah, so Andrew, I got bad news for you. There's no socket for your chip.
You shitting me? It's in the service manual.
Like, if you look at the service manual real closely, you got to read real closely. It points out that you put the installation of the flash module is into the storage controller. So it's like you're on page 47, and then it says back on page 46 when you installed the storage controller. Now you install the flash controller into the storage controller.
Sons of bitches.
Jim, I posted the link to his page.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to share my screen here.
But the good news for you, Andrew, I don't know how the market is over there, but I have seen 420 RAID controllers with no cash on them going for around $200. So that's a pretty reasonable price for a brand new controller. The one thing I would tell you to check is, so when you were, I think, popping in and out, the 410s that I like, mainly because they're cheap, they're going for under $100. The other thing I don't know is if your chip will actually fit in a 410. I can't remember if 410s. I think 410s and 420s take different chips, different modules.
The 410 does native RAID 5, though, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kevin, I've got a shot up here. Go ahead.
That's side by side, a little shorter. And if you look way in the back, that's the Toys for Tots back in the warehouse.
Nice, the barrel.
Yeah, the
Toys
barrel.
For Tots barrel.
We got to clean up the warehouse. So And then below it, I just was sizing up that a Velociraptor will just set in the top there. Some of the guys out on the home server have found these really kind of neat looking. It's a fake DVD drive that you can put a like an SSD inside. But if you wanted to forego that and you were of the John and I are kind of the same camp of just using a little electrical tape to tie them down. The Velociraptors are a little thicker, but it fit perfectly in the top there. And then the next shot was just me figuring out that two Velociraptors would sit side by side, and I could build one from scratch, but I think I posted something. I don't remember which site I posted it on, but Computer Geeks for like $7 has this little. It's a 5 1/4 inch bay with two fans up front, and you can mount four 2 1/2 inch drives in it. I'm just going to buy another one of those and cut it to fit size wise. I think a guy could screw it in. That top rail, I'm pointing at the screen. Obviously, you guys can't see what I'm pointing at. But I think a guy could make a plate that those two drives would bolt onto. You could screw it in the top, and maybe the power supply is right behind there, and put a little bracket next to it. I don't think it would take much to make a nice bracket to pop in there.
Mm. Kevin, Kyle was asking what that's that external enclosure that you were talking about that you were going to use. What is that again?
It's made by Sands Digital. And I kind of killed chat here. Let me, actually, if you go to Sands Digital's website, it's a TR4X plus B. They're kind of pricey. They're $200, $220, and they are...
Which one is it again?
It's the Tower Raid. I think it's the Tower Raid...
2 1/2?
No, go down under Tower Storage. Click on Tower Raid Plus. And it would be the one, look for one that says SAS. So in the list up above there, the very first, or I'm sorry, so you see the listing, there's SASs down a little bit. There you go.
Is it the 8, the first one?
Mine's the 4, actually. Okay, up a little higher. I didn't go, I went too far down on you. Right there.
This one right here, right?
Yep.
Is it the HA or the BHA?
Just the B.
He said the B. It'd be one up, I think.
So it's that one.
And you can get it without the card. I think the other model comes without the card. It just takes 4 hard drives, SAS or SATA, and then the plug on the back of it is just a standard 8088 for the external. So that little plug down in the corner, that'll pass the four connections from the back of the RAID card straight into that box. Now, the other guy...
8088, that was like a processor back in the 1980s, wasn't it?
That was. I learned how to write that in 1980.
So how are you going to connect that in the... Are you going to put a backplate, like a low-profile backplate in the micro server, or you're just going to bring the cable in through the slot and connect it to the motherboard?
The HP RAID controller I picked, the P212, has an external port on it.
Okay.
So it's got one internal and one external.
So you went with the BHA, not the B?
I'm probably just going to go with the B. I haven't ordered that one yet because I'm kind of torn. I thought these guys had gone out of business. We had worked with a company called CI Designs in the past. I'll see if I can get you a link to these guys.
So what's the difference between the B and the BHA?
I'd have to look into it to see. I think the HA was...
Could you back up, Jim?
I thought the HA...
What did you want to see, John?
The B. The B was the one he was going to go with, not the BHA.
Maybe one comes with a card and the other one doesn't?
I think so.
The B. Up. Yeah. There you go.
But that one's just J. The RAID capabilities are just JBOD.
Yep. So I sent you a link for the other website that I... CI Designs built some really cool stuff as well. Except these guys tend to be OEM, so I'm having a little trouble tracking them down.
Speaking of tracking down, we're having a hard time keeping Andrew in here.
Can you explain a little bit about your poster that you did called Microserver Gen 8, FBWC for RAID 5? Is that the one there? Because the talk is the you have a socket that's on the motherboard, and then you have to plug this. Like some people were thinking, oh, don't I get RAID 5 right out the get go?
Yep.
It's like no, you have to plug in, you have to get the card, and then you have to plug this cable from the card to the motherboard.
Right.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, so on some of the bigger servers, especially the HP Blade servers, there's actually a socket right on there to plug in the flash module to kick you up to being able to do RAID 5. And that's what Andrew and I were just talking about. He has that really good flash-backed caching module. And some of the drawings were a little misleading in the book that made people think that on the microserver you would be able to do that. You'd be able to plug in that module. But I was poring over the manuals and I kept seeing references to they kept talking about installing the flash module, but then I finally found it in the service manual. If you read it, it says, the process to install the flash module into the storage controller that you've already installed. So I'd say we've confirmed that there is no way to get RAID 5 straight off from the motherboard. The nice part about that's a limitation for some folks, but I think, from a use case point of view, hard drives are getting big. I think a lot of people would, I could see a good use for the Gen 8 of putting a couple of, putting a couple of fast drives in the first two slots and putting a couple of 4 terabyte drives in the other two and mirroring those, and you'd have a nice, redundant, resilient 4 terabyte system. Or if I'm successful in hanging those two drives internal like that, we could quickly have 6 drive systems. And, the other thing I think we'll run into with this guy is, whereas the microserver, and I know a lot of people have had success with it, but HP RAID controllers are about the only RAID controller I could really get to work well in there. And I have to believe the new iteration of the microserver, I think the LSIs and the Adaptex and other RAID controllers are going to work, really well in there as well. Jim, is it possible for you to bring up that CI Designs link? I popped into chat.
Yeah, which chat did you put it in?
The regular website.
Yeah, okay, let me switch over here. Give me a second.
Yeah, I think for me, not being able to use the native controller, I might even consider a 3.10. Mm-hmm. Instead of a microserver.
Hey, you know what? I've been doing the math on them, and the new 310E V2, they start at $700, and it's that extra couple $100, or it's getting close to $300. Well, that's list price. So let's say it's $250. You get a lot for that $250 when you're hopping up into Haswell-based Xeons. So that for people who are going to do some really heavier duty work, that's going to be a good choice for folks. So probably
that's a good virtualization. Oh. If you want to virtualize everything on 2012, Hyper-V, it's a perfect platform for it, I reckon.
Oh yeah, I agree. So these
virtual game servers, virtualized media, sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. The CI Designs, they're well built and they look pretty cool too. So the I don't know if you can get that full screen.
Which one do you want to see?
There you go. So the mini SAS, the first one in line there. So same concept. You end up with an 8088 port on the back, 4 drives inside. Looks pretty groovy.
Wish they'd let me full screen these pictures.
This is not a server. This is just
it is when you're on Android
box.
This is just an external drive box.
Hold on, let me pinch and zoom here. I'll see if I can pinch this out and get a little. Just kidding.
So the other cool one just to look at here that Jim, if you go down and you see where it says Safari 8 series, click on that one.
Okay.
So the
nice
Safari
box it.
The Safari 8s are 2.5-inch, 2.5-inch drives in a box with 2 of the mini SAS ports on the back. So, John, if you want to go hog wild, you could load that down with Velociraptors and do an 8-drive RAID 0.
There you go. You could put in those 1-terabyte Velociraptors.
How much are those boxes?
I'm not sure. CI Designs usually deals OEM with folks, so I haven't figured out what their pricing would be on them. Yeah, they're going to be pretty pricey. But the Sans Digital's about $200-$220, somewhere in that kind of range.
Yeah, you don't want to get an external box that costs you more than the server.
Oh, so why
what's
not?
Wrong with that picture?
Well, it's not that many years ago, standing in line at Best Buy with the kid behind me had bought an HP PC for $400, and in his other hand he had a $600 video card. So, All depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like my kids.
But don't you think if you have a really good raid card in there, let's say raid 5 or something, you know, I don't know, $400 card or whatever, is it a bit like putting that in the micro server? It's a bit like, yeah, well, that's not such a good idea because like the rest of the micro server, it's like it's not up to par to like handle. You know, you're gonna have something else that's gonna slow you down. It's like if you're gonna go with a $400 plus raid card, might as well get a better server.
Yeah, no, that's actually it's been quite a while ago now, but I sat in with the BYOB guys, and that was kind of the point of our discussion. In a lot of ways, not that RAID 5 is bad, but I think a lot of folks get a micro server. There's 4 bays in it, so instantly the thought process is, I got to do RAID 5. You know, I got 4 drives in here, and I can get a RAID controller, and the guys talk about these high point cards and these HP cards, and so I'm going to do RAID 5 because that's what I can do. And at the end, I think the portion of our conversation was we're all kind of guilty of quickly advocating a RAID type before we even talk about what the person's trying to do.
Yeah.
As Jim, you know, mentions, the amount of real data, you know, that Jim has at home. So think about taking an existing microserver or the new microserver. You know, mirroring drives is probably a better idea for most people. If you don't have a lot of data, just, you know, grab a couple of 4 terabyte decent drives, mirror them up. You don't have to deal with parity, rebuild times, and all that other stuff. But I think people also get it in their heads of, geez, if I mirror drives, I'm wasting a whole drive. And RAID 5, I'm only wasting one drive out of the set. But
yeah.
In the forum, that's one of the things I try and hit on when people start asking questions is, hey, let's take a step back and figure out John, you bring up a great point, is what is it people are trying to do? And a lot of the things, you know, they're probably trying to do end up being overkill.
Well, and I think RAID 5 with the bigger drives is a real mistake. It's because with the rebuild times, I mean, you know, even if you go through the equations and you assume that all the outages are independent and everything is independent, and they aren't, you know, maybe you could your system is going to last while you get the rebuild going, but I have to believe that when you have an outage, hard drive outages, that there's going to be cold dependencies, and it may be the result of voltage spikes or whatever, and you're going to have several drives. You know, maybe one goes out, and you got another that's ready to go out, or you have an error during the rebuild, and if you have a RAID 5 or a RAID 6 with 3, 4, 5 terabyte drives, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're kind of hitting on an area that when I first hopped on, Andrew was kind of talking about enterprise stuff, and one of the things I've noticed with the HP Smart RAID controllers, and it's one of those things that it'd probably be good for us to do a little documentation on, is those big storage arrays, like the big HPs and the big, you know, my company sells EMC and NetApp, they do drive scrubbing. So the controllers are constantly out scrubbing the drives, looking for bad spots, so they can pre-predict drive failures. And on the HP Smart Array controllers that I have been advocating for the microservers, they do that as well. So I don't know, you know, not to pick on the Highpoint guys, I don't know if Highpoint is a smart enough controller that it is out scrubbing the drives. But, you know, John, to your point about drive failures, that's where we start to see some differentiation in the actual RAID controllers. And, you know, as drives get bigger, that could be a real advantage to a RAID controller that's actually out doing that drive scrubbing.
Sure. Oh, of course.
What was one of the drives in the RAID cards that they were in the forums that was pretty popular? Was it the P410 or something that it was kind of slapping around in the microservers?
That's the one I've had the best luck with. I'm probably Lone Wolf is another guy out on the forum who's had good luck with those. I ran into some weird stuff. I've always been a big LSI fan, but every time I shoved an LSI card in a microserver, I could never get the BIOS to load. You know, on pre-boot, when you're booting up and you need to hit Control A for an Adaptec to get into the controller BIOS, there was BIOS conflict and you could never get to it. The only way I was ever able to configure those is if I booted off a separate hard drive and got the OS up and running, then I could use the Adaptec software to go in and configure the card and set up the RAID. But LSI and Adaptec I always had issue with, and the HP 410s I've always had really good luck. They seem to behave very well in all the old microservers, and we'll see how they behave in the new microserver when I get this one in.
You know, one thing you should try, give us a heads up or let us know, is the is if you get a chance to put the 2012 R2 Essentials on that microserver and like load it up, because like everybody else from the microserver, the 36 to the 54, we have that driver issue that you gotta disable the NIC card, you know. So I wonder if the Gen 8, if it'll just like, okay, I'm good, I can sail through that.
I've got a 12R2, I think, disk laying on my desk. I'll pop that one in first and see how it goes.
That'd be great.
Cool.
Paul's putting a link out there. We should probably bring him in too. Here, let's just bring Paul in real quick. Hang tight one second.
Hey, Paul, come on down.
We're gonna bring Paul Brereton in. Paul, you better be ready. Here we go.
Better have some pants on.
Or at least a shirt.
He's always more interesting to have in person than to try and get through it.
And for as much as Icon complains how bad the new microserver looks, when you see it in person, it looks really nice.
Oh, it looks as nice as advertised? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it looks better.
I've been thinking about painting one of my microservers, you know, or at least painting the door. I don't know. I was thinking
like
maybe
what?
Gold or silver. You
know, who was it? Was it Dave that popped? I was listening to something else. Sorry, it was going on in the background. Dave popped out a link there with a pink front of the microserver.
Yeah, that's. I'm not sure who. I got that one through Facebook as well.
Somebody painted it pink?
Well, you know those doors, you can get them in different colors?
Yep.
Really?
And somebody tweeted bacon? Something, I saw pink. It was a pink color. There was a
bacon color? Is that what you said?
Bacon.
Yeah.
I think the Gen 8 doors, they were showing that you could get those in colors.
Okay, wait a minute. I can order for the, what do I have? Do I have a 40? So I have an N40L. You're telling me I can get a different color door for that thing?
No, for the Gen 8.
For the Gen 8. Gotcha.
No. Seriously?
So
you'd both have that one.
But I was thinking of taking my door on my N40 and painting that. But
yeah.
I haven't decided on a color. I don't think it'd be pink.
Oh, come on, John.
What's nice about those doors is I like how they added the little screws on the rail along the bottom.
That well, yeah. I'll tell you what, Andrew. I'll do it if you'll come over here from Australia. Come over for the meetup, and I'll paint
it. I'll come and mask it up for you.
I'll bring the can of paint, and you and I will paint it.
If HP wanted to increase sales on these, all they'd have to do is do sports theme doors.
Do all
the NFL teams, do all the major college teams, and sell them as media servers, and people would buy them just to have a have a team related media server.
You're probably right.
Well, you know,
my brother pointed to a site there where they had these decals like for your phones, and you could. You know, and it was weird because I think they did the it was like a back, like you had a back plate, like, you know, the back of the phone you can change the plastic there, and it could be like a sports theme. But then the front had like a screen, like they matched the back of the machine with the front of the phone, where they had the background, and I don't know, it was like wow, but it was a little too much overkill. You know, it was too much eye candy. But anyway, maybe
you can never have too much eye candy. With you know, you could make a board cube out of one of those things.
Oh, the other thing I wanted, do you know if that machine will go to sleep? Like if you can, is it the microserver? I'm getting mixed up with my servers. But my microserver, I couldn't put it to sleep. You can put it to hibernate, but you can't put it to sleep. Right? Is that the case, John?
As far as I know, mine's always awake trying to think of ways to do me in.
Yeah. I think you're right, John. I think that's come up on the board a few times.
Trying to do you in. That
microservers won't go to sleep.
Yeah, because I know guys were using the lights out add-in, and I think the only option you can play around with was hibernate, and I didn't want to get into hibernate. And hibernate also is not good if you're going to have if you decide to slap in a SSD drive. I hear, you know, hibernation is no good because it's copying all your stuff now to the SSD drive, so it's going to, you know, prematurely whatever wear it out. So I was just wondering if the Gen 8, it's something that, again, you know, if it's 35 watts, it's not taking a lot of juice, then, you know, leave it on all the time. I mean, it's a server, right?
It is. I'm just thinking back to some of the folks who were asking about putting them to sleep, and I think, you know, everybody, of course, asked the same question as, well, why do you want to put it to sleep? I have to believe now that this new box has the full ILO 4 implementation, if you had a need to do something like that, there would at least be a manual process to come in through ILO and either shut it down or restart it. So that, you know, that might be a way to play out on that as well.
Do you have any, did you read up about the their switch? You know, they have their eight port switch, and it's supposed to have some fancy stuff in it that it's also when you plug it to the server, like the server says, oh, I see the switch, and now you can kind of manage me through some kind of web interface. Is that what I read?
Yes. Yeah, they've built some extra, I forget. What's that?
Kind of like Virtual Connect.
Yes, yeah, it is. Insight? I'm trying to think of the term they use.
Yeah, Remote Insight, yeah.
The deployment concept, some of those functions. Apparently, if you have Microserver Gen 8s hanging off that new switch, it auto-identifies them, and you can go instantly configure the ILO and everything else to configure. So they've done some pretty cool things with these.
Well, I saw in the manual, Kevin, that you can. They said that you could stack three microservers on top of each other. So you're going to get two more?
Are they only rated for so much weight that you can only stack three?
I mean, I assume that's what it was.
What about the tower?
You know, you make me think. Somebody commented about something to that effect. I think they were saying you can't put it in a cluster with the older microservers. Did they say the older microserver was AMD?
Yep.
Yeah. And then these guys are Intel, so there was something there, right?
Yeah. So from virtualization, you can't mix processor families, at least in the basic sense. So.
Bummer.
Yep.
So, but if you stack three of them up, you could then build yourself an HA Hyper-V cluster around 2012.
Yes.
But that switch, you can also put it on the under the server instead of putting it on the top. You can put it under, right? That should work.
Yep, you can put it under. The other thing that has never come to light, you know, all the rumors flying around. You know, so my whole thing about going with this 4-drive external bay, there's a few guys out there that claim HP was planning on doing some type of add-on storage module that would stack right with the servers.
Yeah, that would be perfect. I don't.
Oh yeah.
I don't see
why
they
don't build
do
another
that.
Box that looked exactly the same thing, except daisy chained them together or whatever.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how that how it plays out.
You'd want RAID 5 then.
Oh yeah.
One thing I think might be interesting is since it has two NIC cards or NIC ports is the 2012 R2 and I think also. Just 2012 essentials. It has like the ganging, right? There, the teaming. What was it? Christian had talked about it last time. How they made it a little bit more user friendly. It's like, oh, I see two cards. You know, you'll see the two cards. You'll click on it, and then you'll tell it team, and then boom, just like you know, it's a couple of check boxes, and go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So this is the 1610, right?
Yeah, that's the one I got.
G1610T.
Yep.
With 2 gig, or did you get more?
Just two, but I ordered 2 8-gig modules for it, so I'll kick it up to 16.
And what was retail?
I paid $414 for the box.
Wow.
And where? I got the Newegg.
Oh, okay.
And I got the memory modules. Excuse me, the memory modules were... I absolutely used the link.
there you go.
I can't tell you the number of times I've gotten just to hitting the button on checkout and had to back up and go back and redo it to make sure I went through the affiliate links.
At least you remembered before you hit the button and not after, like I do half the time.
I know, I do that sometimes too. I feel bad.
So the 8-gig modules were $80 a piece. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but oddly enough, they were Hynix, my favorite semiconductor company as of late. So we'll see how those go.
Is that the did you go with the ECC memory or what?
Yep. Yeah, I went with ECC, and I don't think it's required, but the spec kind of calls out for a dual rank memory. But now that I see the 2-gig module that's in there, I'm pretty sure it's a single rank on the original module that came in it. But I went with DDR3 1600 speed ECC. And the ECC is a good question because, you know, as we were talking about processors that you could possibly put in here because it's a socket 1155, kind of the question comes up, you know, could I throw an i5 in there? Well, theoretically you could, but i5s don't support ECC. So it'll be interesting to see as time, you know, plays out, if you put a non-ECC processor in it, is the BIOS going to be okay with that? If you put in a non-ECC processor, do you need to make sure that you put in non-ECC memory? So as much as I'm going to hack with this a bit and change the processor out, I'm probably going to stick in the ECC camp and keep things pretty standard that way.
I see they raised the price $2. Because it was $414 on the 30th.
Everything I buy goes up. So.
Well, I wonder if it's sometimes too. We've noticed that there is some weirdness going on with cookies. Rich kind of found this out, that depending upon where you came from, determines what price you pay.
Yep.
And there were some things, you know, that the link I came from, it could be $2 or $3 difference just based on where you came from.
Let me take a look.
Yeah, that post, the guy posts on home server with the handle pancakes, found that. There's a pretty good thread. And I got to go back and look at that. I don't know if he ever posted what the answer from Newegg was on that. So,
Kevin, did you say, so that's just two channels? So you just have two slots for RAM? So you're getting 16 max, right?
16 is what they've rated it for. Okay. Technically, you could probably, you know, that'll be the next thing is guys trying 16 gig modules, which I don't think exist today. But, I'm going to take it up to 16 gig.
Yeah, like the N40 and 54, right? Some of the guys who are trying to play. I mean, John, you played around with the putting a bigger memory that's not supported. Yeah. And some people said during different boots, like sometimes it would catch it, sometimes it didn't. So, I wonder if people are going to be playing the same game with the Gen 8.
Well, if they try to go to 32, yeah. But I with the Kingston ECC RAM, 16 gig, it worked on any machine.
Yeah.
But the G-Skill, the 16 gig. There was one machine, one N40, that it works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and that's, you know, memory is one of those things, and I apologize for it, but I'm a stick to the book kind of guy. You know, go read the service manual, figure out what it is. You know, it's like I was trying to help a guy on home server the other day, and he had posted pictures of, hey, I got a Gen 8, and none of these modules work. And I'm like, well, first off, the bottom two are registered ECC, and you know, registered memory doesn't work in the Gen 8, and the top one looks like a non-ECC desktop module of some kind, and you know, and another guy had posted, I ordered these modules from Newegg and they didn't work, so I sent them back, and of course I look at them again, and yeah, you ordered registered memory and the box doesn't take registered memory. So I feel for guys at Newegg who, you know, seem to take returns no questions asked, but I don't mean to come off arrogant, but I always hope people will read the manual and not just try and plug stuff in and wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know, those guys, they're like, sometimes I'm one of those guys, you know, it's like you get a new toy, you play with it, and only when something doesn't work, then you go reach for the manual. It's like, I don't need no stinking manual. Oh, it's a guy.
It's best to figure out. Well, that's, yeah. I am working on a little side project because, and I'll be nice about it, but the guy who took a dual port gigabit card and cut it down to a 1X and then was complaining about the performance. I've done a lot of research and I have three cards. I'm going to do my own testing and what I hope will show him is, you know, what you can really expect from a gigabit port in addition to, you know, what you can really expect from a 1X PCIe 2 bus. And it's not to make the guy feel bad. I don't like misinformation, and I think there was so many numbers flying around in that one, and in the end the guy's going, oh, the bus on the N40 is crap and this HP NIC card is crap, and I'm like, oh no, I think you're getting the numbers you would expect to get and this is why. So when I get a few minutes, I'll crank that one out.
Yeah, you're making me think I got one of these cards for my N40L, the PCI Express, because, you know, there's a smaller you know, it has a bigger port, but I said, you know what, I'll get this guy. And it worked. At least I'm glad, because, like, I even played around with getting back to memory. I bought some memory for my DX4000. You know, it has a laptop memory.
Yep.
And I ended up, laptop memory 2 gig, and they say you could put a 4 gig. So I went to the store, and I got memory, and anyway, I booted up, and during the boot, it just, like, it doesn't complete, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take it out, like, thought I bought the right memory, but you know, it's a bit like you what's that slide? You take your chances, you pay your money, you take your chances. Yeah. You know,
does the 4000 just have one memory slot?
Yeah, it's a tiny little card there. It's only like an 8x10 or something, a small little card, and yeah, it's really compact.
What you might want to check, what I tend to run into when there's only one slot is the whole single rank or dual rank memory. So it'll be like R2 or R1 on the board. And a lot of times, if there's only one memory slot, it might require the memory module to be an R2 so that the memory controller can see two different channels on the same module.
Hmm. Okay, you lost me. Yeah.
At least you admitted that, John. I would have been like, "Oh, that sounds good."
I was thinking about that.
Kevin, that's a good point that you made. You totally lost me on that.
it's like that episode makes me think about that house. What was that? Home again or home something there? The guy's building a house. And he's saying, "So how are you wiring up this place?" He goes, "You know, 210, 220, whatever it takes."
Kevin, anything else on the any other impressions on the microserver?
Looks, you know, from the number, and I think John has mentioned, you know, on the original microservers, wearing out the cables, unplugging stuff, and John, I too have slid that motherboard out and then realized I hadn't disconnected a add-in card and look at it popping up in the back. They really did a nice job of, you know, you still have to unplug stuff, obviously, but you can actually put in an add-in card without removing the motherboard. You can, you know, there's enough room to slide it in there and pop it down. And, you know, for other work, adding memory modules, you wouldn't have to pull the motherboard to add memory modules. So I'm pretty impressed. The guys really did their homework on this one, interesting thing John and I noticed was over on Home Server, somebody had posted a video interview with one of the microserver guys.
Oh, yeah, Greg.
Yeah, a guy named Greg Stark, and I just happened to wander through my Twitter stuff today, and lo and behold, Greg Stark is following me, and I mentioned it to John, and he's following John and Jim and Dave, and so I've asked Dave to, you know, maybe be a good idea to reach out to this guy, because obviously if he's listening to us, it would be nice to build a little communication between our community and somebody on the inside of the microserver into the business.
He could be listening to us right now.
Yeah, I mean, he could
servers
be.
Servers all around.
Nicely done.
Yeah, and he has his Twitter account locked, but I did send him a, when I first got the notice that he was following me, well, then I sent one to follow him, and he acknowledged it, so that was pretty cool. But I noticed he started following me when things had started coming out about the Gen 8, you know, and speculation was flying all over the place, and Chris had started that one thread that I guess I checked later, and that thread was coming up at the top of Google searches on Gen 8 machines. And you noticed in the video when you saw it, Kevin, that towards the end, and he talked about if somebody, you know, from an enthusiast standpoint, just do a search on home server in Google.
Yep.
So he didn't say home server show, but he said home server. So I typed in home server in Google, and guess where it took me to. So he sort of gave us kind of a sideways shout out. I was going to mention that.
But if you guys, I was going to say, if you get tracking down, let me know, and I'll see if I can get him on the show.
John, isn't it great when you try, you're looking for an answer to a question, and you type it in, and it comes back to a post that you wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, because I look at it, I said, well, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
How did I do that? Yeah. Oh, it's so close.
That's right. That would be me. I would be oh, that's right. I already figured that out, and I forgot that I figured it out.
It was like with loading Forefront onto Essentials.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten how I did it. I knew I had done it, but I'd forgotten how I did it. I was trying to do it from memory, which was the wrong thing to do.
Sometimes that's why I write a post, right? So I can go back to it to get it. That's the best place to put it, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because you could search for it and find it.
I know. That's the crazy thing about it, right? That's why I started doing the cloud storage guide, because I had all these offerings. I couldn't keep track of them. So I thought, well, if I start my own post on that, then I'll be forced to kind of keep track of them all. So sometimes it works in your favor.
Andrew, you getting the Gen 8 or what?
Jury's out now. I can't run RAID 5 or 6.
You better get a 310. You're a 310 guy.
I'll wait for the 310s to come out at staff pricing, and hopefully they don't bend us over too badly to try and get us to buy them.
It's I'm surprised that these are being made. I'll just be honest. They're not. They seem very niche, and yet the Gen 8 just seems so niche, and yet they are gangbusters behind.
They're
these
the new
things,
Media
so.
Smart servers.
Yeah,
we're already deploying them in the enterprise's appliances.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim, I was surprised. I talked to a partner, and where we end up seeing it is like my end of the business is pretty heavy in storage arrays, and we'll sell like one big storage array back at the core, and then they'll put littler stuff out at the edge, and things like these Gen 8 microservers will pop up. You know, we had somebody working on a bid with a major retailer, and they were going to put a big storage array at their corporate headquarters, and it was going to push and pull data out to microservers out at all these sites. So, but I would like to, I'd love to hear some numbers from HP at some point in time of, and they could just look at their sales out. I would dare say, the majority of the stuff that goes through a Newegg is probably going out to tech enthusiasts, whereas microservers going out through a CDW or an SHI or a PC connection are more than likely going, probably more likely to go to a business. It'd be interesting just to know where they're going. Who is the major consumer of the microserver product?
I hope HP or either Amazon would bundle the server 2012. They did that with the other microservers. Give you the OS. So it would be nice to see those guys get into there, because I'd like to see some add-in development come back. And it was nothing like it was when the version one, home server, all those add-ins. Now it's like nothing is happening there.
Yeah, it really add-in development has really come to just a grinding halt.
Yep.
For the most part. Yeah. And you have guys, to say that, though, then you have guys like Stablebit, CoveCube, coming out with some decent, they're not technically add-ins, but they're you can at least run them on the box. And so there are some things out there, but certainly the software community, it seems like the hardware community has rocketed ahead now, or at least HP has rocketed ahead. We had the 36, 40, 54, and now this box come out. Really just bing, bang, boom, if you think about it in a time, if you think about it over the last 2 years, those boxes came out very, very fast, and the software has not kept up at all. We lost Home Server, and, we have 2012 Essentials, and 2012 Essentials R2, which I think is really a tip of the hat to the Home Server community in some ways, right? I mean, that R2 was is a very nice tip of the hat to us in the Home Server community. So it'll be interesting to see if the developer community will come back to Essentials R2, and will they develop add-ins for it again?
I think they will. I think you ought to see Greg's video. I put a link to it out there. It's also on in the Gen 8 links section that Chris
put in the show notes too, John. Would you?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, in the show notes.
In our show notes, because I'm going to actually turn this into a second podcast. It's been really good.
Okay.
So question for you guys. I know when 2012 Foundations came out, there was a lot of limitations of Foundations versus Essential. In R2, do some of those go away, or is Foundation going to be always somewhat crippled?
I think so.
Yeah, I haven't really played with the Foundation.
I don't see them
PR
adding
too much.
That's a kind of an entry level, right? I don't see them adding much to Foundation. Absolutely, giving us virtualization was, you know, giving us virtualization and the dashboard was that was just great. I mean, I hope that was the old home server guys putting pressure on the on the senior level executives at Microsoft to say, give these guys a bone, would you?
The only reason I bring up Foundation is what John, you mentioned a bundle. That's kind of what Foundation was out there for. So, I have had other server vendors. You know, whenever the bundling idea comes up, they kind of default to Foundation as a way to do that to hit a price point. But you know, if it's so limited that doesn't have the capabilities that a guy would want, then of course it wouldn't be a good bundle.
Yeah. So
what else can I tell you about the new WYSIWYG microserver?
Now we covered a lot of stuff.
I think we kind of beat it up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
When are you going to post more pictures?
Hey,
The one thing I got to find out right away, and this just may be an anomaly. So there's four SATA ports, then there's a fifth SATA port for the optical drive. But when I went into the RAID controller today, it thinks it has six ports. So I'm almost wondering if that micro SD card slot is somehow showing up as a SATA port. So I'm going to plug a bunch of drives into it tomorrow and see if it actually believes it does have six ports on it.
Yeah, making me think. Somebody did a post there. I think Dave tweeted or somebody tweeted where they're saying something about the micro SD, because the micro SD card, because the regular SD card doesn't have like a locking mechanism, right? But the micro SD does.
Right.
And so then they were saying something like, I don't know, if you put like a ESXi on the server, you know, you put on the flash drive and you plug it in there, you know, and then you're moving the server around or whatever, I guess. How many times are you moving the server around? But it's like they say it might pop out or whatever. So it's like that's one of the reasons they went for the micro SD. It's like, really? It would have been nice, like I said earlier in the previous podcast there, to have a... you got a micro SD card?
It's
nice to have a PCI, MSATA port on there. Then you can just buy a 60 gig SD card, bang, lock it in, there you go. But,
I'll plug this 64 gig in tomorrow and see where it shows up.
Well, good discussion. Let me wrap this real quick. I will break this out and make it its own. We'll call it, you know, the HP Gen 8 microserver first look kind of deal. It's always good to break these out. Well, I'll put it in a separate. We'll even give it like show 129, I guess, is what it'll be, and I'll release it early in the week. Next week, so folks can consume it that way. But let me close this. If you're listening to this part of the show, we didn't open it like open a normal show. So typically, Home Tech Podcast, we are the guys. We podcast out there on Thursday nights out at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern at theaverageguy.tv. We're also a big part of the home server community. You heard that referenced a bunch of times if you made it all the way to the end of the podcast. Head over to homeservershow.com. That's the forums there. At theaverageguy.tv, we don't have any tech forums. We all meet in Facebook. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, that's where we hang out, just kind of in an open community around tech. But the heavy, hardcore home server, Windows server discussion is going on over at homeservershow.com. So you want to head over there and get involved in those forums. I imagine this is going to get some good SEO, guys, and so it may get picked up by some folks who have not heard of either Home Server Show or TheAverageGuy.tv or Home Tech. So if you've gotten this far and you haven't, you can subscribe to either one of those podcasts. We do them both live Wednesday night for homeservershow.com, and that's just head over there, and you can listen to us on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., talk about that. Thursdays for Home Tech right here at TheAverageGuy.tv/live, and again, I appreciate you guys joining me. Kevin, thanks for jumping in.
Absolutely.
Kind of last minute. We just kind of called you in. I'll do a little intro to the show so folks know what we're doing. And Andrew, thanks for staying around so late. John and John as well. Oh, by the way, Rennie had said, I got to read this before we go. Rennie had sent a tweet out earlier tonight. Let me see if I can find this here real quick. It was just classic. Let's see. It's in my email box, and it says, Zadler and Stutzman would be a good name for a steakhouse or a fashion label. Not sure which.
Fashion label.
Well, that guy.
Yeah. Steakhouse or a fashion label.
Yeah, because we were talking about fashion addition to home servers.
That's right, pink covers.
I think a shiny gold front door on my N40 would be really nice.
That would be. Well, if you,
what
are
what
you
do
gonna,
you think, Kevin?
It's all good.
Gold. Put the $400 RAID card in there, and then just put two gold dollar signs on the door.
Oh, that's right. Jim's got the dollar sign.
I do have the dollar necklace. Sign wrapped up with the Drobo. I have that. I do have that wrapped up. I have a trademark on that, so don't do that. It's no, you can do whatever you want.
So yeah, I'll finally get to see you with it. I thought I saw it when it was given to you originally.
Originally. Well, guys, thanks. We'll close. I'll do this. I'll close it up. You guys don't have to leave, but we'll close this part up. Thanks for coming out and hearing kind of the first look at the HP. What's the name? Is it just, what are we calling this thing? It's a 1610.
Microserver Gen 8.
Okay, so that's what this thing is called in short. The first look at the Microserver Gen 8. Kevin will certainly have plenty of stuff to talk about. Again, it'll be over at the homeservershow.com/forums. And there's some great pictures out there. Kevin, maybe you can take a few shots for me tomorrow. Send them my way. I'll include them in the post for the show notes as well.
Yep,
that would be very cool. We'll put that out. So thanks for listening. And join us each and every week over to theaverageguy.tv for podcasts just like this and maybe a few more not like this that you might be interested in. Thanks for listening.